I have edema on my thigh, pink stuff in my eye, and I need you now.
Dr. Kevin Moe, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine.
I've got a stomach pain that's low, fungus on my toe, and I need you now.
Making people better by making medicine better.
He's from Central DuPage Hospital.
And Northwestern Medicine.
Call Dr. Moe right now.
I was at the Hawks game, Doc, last night. Good morning, by the way.
Good morning.
I was at the Hawks game last night with friends, including Jim Roth, great guy. And Jim is a huge fan of yours and wanted you to know how much he enjoys this particular segment.
Well, tell Jim thank you very much. I appreciate that. And hopefully I make sense every other Monday.
And then there's a creep, Larry Wirt, that runs this company who wants to tell me all the time how this is the favorite segment of the week and about the only thing he listens to on this show.
Yeah, I was supposed to touch base with Larry this weekend and did not, so I need to give him a call.
Yeah, you're his little pet.
Yeah.
All right, so there may be an opportunity this week, depending on your schedule, if you can come back to talk a little bit about Alzheimer's again. Over the weekend, Bill Gates committed $50 million of his own dollars to the fight against Alzheimer's, there's just some good news and some bad news related to Alzheimer's and some amazing statistics. And it's all stuff Doc's brought up before, but I think it might be time for a return to that topic at some point. But today, I'm going to throw some names at you. And Andre and Dave, you can see if you can tell, because I know the answer here. But you guys can see if you know the answer. Charles Dickens, Neil Young, Teddy Roosevelt, Prince, Danny Glover, Edgar Allan Poe. What do they all have in common, Dave? I mean, they're all Wildcat fans, obviously, but what do they all have in common?
Prince, Edgar Allan Poe.
Teddy Roosevelt, Neil Young. Charles Dickens.
Go Cats.
I've got to think it's got some sort of health.
Doc's on the phone. Yes. Of course it's got something to do with health. Well done, Kreskin.
I'm trying to be deductive here.
Have you seen the answer?
I have seen the answer. Well, you know what, though? I won't say I was surprised that all of the people that you mentioned suffered from this.
Doc, what do they have?
They all suffered or are suffering from epilepsy.
How about that?
Well, if you mentioned my wife, then I would have gotten it.
Your wife deals with this too? Oh, I did not know that. That's rather remarkable, but that right off the top, Doc, that just shows people that anybody can get it, and it doesn't matter who you are. Epilepsy doesn't care.
Yeah. You know, I think it's sometimes important that we use celebrities, and Dave, I apologize. I should have put your wife on this list.
I think she'll be okay with it, Doc, but thanks.
Good. we need to eliminate some of that stigma that often follows some diseases, whether it's depression or, you know, even Alzheimer's. And here we talk about epilepsy, and anybody can get it. And that's what we have to realize, and that it's a disease process, and let's understand it before we start looking at people with epilepsy and feel differently.
So this is Epilepsy Awareness Month, and some people might grow tedious with all the theme months we have for different things. But the reason they have them is because it is a way to get media and other folks to focus on it for at least a 30-day period. So what are some of the myths that are out there?
Well, you know, I think probably one of the biggest myths is, oh, my gosh, this person, if I get too close to someone having a seizure, I can get contagious. Or, boy, they have epilepsy, therefore they cannot do this job. They're not smart. They're not talented. And they're very restricted in what they can do. And we have to realize that, you know, these are like people, you walking down the street, you can't tell, look at somebody and say, oh, that person has high blood pressure, that person has diabetes, that person has epilepsy. They are totally normal individuals who just happen to have a portion of their brain that sometimes will short circuit and cause them to have a seizure.
And of course, the rest of us, just human nature now, the rest of us think, oh, I don't know what I'm going to do if somebody seizures in front of me. I'm sure you hear that all the time.
Yeah. Absolutely. And you know, when we talk about, like you said, the topic of the month kind of sometimes, it's important for people, one, to understand the disease, two, to understand if they were put in the position of someone doing something, what can they do safely and what can they do to help? And then we like to talk about what's new and exciting as far as the treatment of it. So I think individuals, hopefully, after hearing this, will have a better understanding of what goes on with epilepsy.
All right, so somebody seizures and they fall in front of you, friend, stranger, whatever, what's our role?
You know, people used to always think, okay, wait, I got to make sure that they don't swallow their tongue.
Mm-hmm.
and it's impossible to swallow your tongue. You cannot swallow your tongue. So don't worry about that portion of it. Probably the biggest thing that you can do is try to keep them as safe as possible. Don't try to restrain them. Don't try to stop the seizure. Those cause dislocations, broken bones. Seizing is okay. Probably the most important thing is protect their head. Turn them on their side, so in case if they happen to throw up, it doesn't end up in their lungs. Turn them on their side and protect their head. And then move anything around that they could kick or that they could run into, move that away from them. So the important thing is allowing the seizure to occur, but just try to protect them as much as you can.
All right, so after the seizure ends, what are they experiencing and what do we need to be doing then?
Yeah, after a seizure, there's a period of time called the post-ictal phase, and that's after someone comes out of the seizure. And it's important to stay with them during that time. They'll look dazed. They'll look confused. Many of them will come out and pretty much know that they just had a seizure because they've had them in the past. But just stay with them and be concerned with them until someone comes or until they get to a point where they can get up and move safely. Often paramedics will come at times like this. But to be honest with you, a lot of these people who have had seizures in the past know exactly what to do. And the other thing is, you know, unfortunately, sometimes when people have seizures, they become incontinent and lose their urine. This can be very embarrassing. So try to make it at least as comfortable as we can for the individual.
Should you automatically call a doctor when somebody comes out of a seizure or, you know, does it depend on the situation?
Well, it probably depends on the situation, but to be honest with you, if you don't know the individual, it's always good to have experts there because you don't know what caused that seizure. Seizures can be caused by brain tumors. Seizures can be caused by other things. They can be caused by drugs. So if you don't know the individual and they don't know that they have a seizure history, it's always good to get that individual checked out. This may be the first seizure that they've ever had, so having them seen professionally is a good idea.
1 in 10 adults will have a seizure at some point in their life. That's pretty amazing. And epilepsy means you have 2 or more unprovoked seizures in your life. That's really as simple as that.
Yeah, it is. You know, and when we look at the general population overall, now a lot of those, when we say 1 in 10 will, a lot of those are going to have seizures as they were a child, something called a febrile seizure, and then they won't have another one. But 1 in 26 are going to go on to have recurring seizures. So this is not an uncommon disease. All you people are driving down the Eisenhower or driving down any of the highways right now, you're surrounded by 26 cars. Chances are that, you know, people that you know have had a seizure disorder, and people that you probably know that you didn't even know had it have a seizure disorder.
Is there an age for epilepsy where it's most prevalent?
No, we can get it, you know, as early as 3 months. You can get it all the way up until, you know, your 60s or 70s. Wow. So it can happen to any of us at any time. You know, we do have a higher incidence of children who have it. And fortunately, some of those will, I hate to say, use the word grow out of it, but some do grow out of it and won't have another seizure. But for the most part, we can't cure this. We can't give you a medicine and say, here, take this for 10 days and you're cured. But we do have medications, obviously, that can help us control it.
We'll get deeper into this after traffic, but Andrea, one more before we hit traffic.
Is there something like a pacemaker now, Doc, for epilepsy patients, like a neurotransmitter, something like that?
Exactly. It's probably one of the newer, cooler things that are being done. And not that they're not being done all over, but Northwestern happens to do them as well. And it's something called a responsive neurotransmitter. And it's just like a pacemaker. So we can find some individuals where we can identify that the activity is going to occur now and it's going to cause a seizure, because a seizure is essentially a short circuit in a portion of the brain. And in those individuals where we can identify exactly where the seizure is coming from, we're able to put essentially a wire in there and override that. So when we see, the body sees that it's happening, it knows it, boom, the pacemaker fires and it stops the seizure from happening. Very, very cool.
More with Dr. Kevin Most in a moment. Dr. Kevin Most, making people better by making medicine better. That's what Northwestern Medicine does. And Doc is here on behalf of the fine people at Northwestern Medicine, mostly the nurses. We like the nurses best because they do all the hard work. Epilepsy Foundation of Greater Chicago. We should support them all the time.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, when we We talk about the awareness and making sure that people are aware, but we really need to know that you have a lot of local resources here. Kurt Florian and his team at the Epilepsy Foundation of Chicago is great. You know, here's a parent or a child or an individual who has a seizure, and they go, where do I turn? And here, you know, they have great resources. They're there helping lead research. You know, they're the ones that are saying, hey, give us some funding so we can make sure it gets into the hands of the right people for funding. But also, how do I deal with it? What do I need to do in my home? What do I need to do? What's the best treatment options? Who are the best doctors? So, you know, just Google Epilepsy Foundation of Chicago, and like I said, Kurt Florian's a great leader in that group, so he's really doing some great work.
Andre was talking about this, what amounts to a pacemaker, but there's other things going on. What are some of the other breakthroughs?
Yeah, you know, there's, you know, like I said earlier, you know, we can't cure this, but when we start to look at some of the other surgical options, it's kind of amazing when we think about it. You know, the brain is so complex. It allows us to do so many things. It allows us to take a golf swing, allows us to do math, allows us to do all these things. And if we can find a computer
on top of your shoulders. That's what it is.
Yeah. So think about your whole brain and trying to find this one tiny small area that causes the seizure. But when we can, the other cool thing that we're doing now surgically is something called using a laser, actually, and it's a laser called NeuroBlate. And what we do is we put a small hole in the skull, and then under MRI or CAT scan guidance, we take this laser and put it into the area where we know the seizure is coming from, and we heat it up and we burn it or ablate that area to stop the seizure from happening.
So it's a rewiring.
It's kind of a rewiring, or it's a burning out, a soldering of the area that was firing wrong. But for these individuals, you're talking about a very tiny hole in the skull. You're talking about a very fine laser that is put in there, and then it is turned on when it's in the right area, does minimal to no damage to the healthy tissue, takes care of that tissue, and that's an individual that was going to be on medicines for the rest of their life that no longer need to be on medication.
Can you do anything with nutrition or diet?
Yeah, there is. You know, some of the patients who don't do well with just medication, they found that putting them on a ketogenic diet will actually help the medication work a little bit better and can help slow down the activity of the seizures. So the diet's not going to make it go away, but it certainly can help. That being said, you know, people go, oh, ketogenic diet, that's the Atkins diet. I'm going to put my child on that. You need to do it in a very careful way. Often we'll put people in the hospital, actually, for a few days as we get them on this diet, because it's a very strict diet and really should be really watched and taken over by your physician.
Melissa McCarthy supposedly just did this ketogenic diet thing and lost a bunch of weight. All right, so what do you want to say to parents?
Well, you know, a couple things. One is, it's not the end of the world if your child has a seizure. Like I said, you know, look at the people here. You know, we had presidents who have had seizures. We have great actors. We have brilliant people who have had seizures. So don't get down. Don't get depressed. Two, the other thing is probably one of the most common forms of seizure we see are what we call febrile seizures. And that's when a young baby, a young child, 3 months up to 5 years, will get a viral illness, will get an ear infection, will get a high temperature and have a seizure. Don't be concerned about that. Certainly, we take care of that. You're going to do the exact same thing we do with adults. Turn them on their side. Let them have the seizure. If it's their first one, make sure you get them into the doctor. But those are not going to, you're not, oh, my child has epilepsy. No, don't worry about it. Your child's seizure was because of this high fever. And really, the message there to parents is, when you start to see your child has a low-grade fever or starts to have a fever with a cold, treat it. Give them Tylenol. Give them Motrin to keep that fever down to eliminate the possibility of a seizure.
We'll talk Alzheimer's later this week if you have time.
You got it, man.
I appreciate it. Thank you. And all the notes that Doc does, and he does the better notes than I've ever seen. I mean, ever. We post them all. Jake, where do we put the notes? Like, when we talk to Doc, where do those notes go after?
That would be WGNradio.com.
All right. Can we post a link to them on my Twitter page, at Cochran Show?
We sure can.
How about my Facebook page, Steve Cochran Show?
You got it.
Could we mail them to people?
We'll put it on your Snapchat, too.
Could we fax them out, Pop?